Hardball Talk is the blog on NBCSports.com. Craig Calcaterra on the line. And Craig, let's start with the Orioles, and it's another season of frustration for Oriole fans. Brian Mattis sent down. From what you've seen, do you think he's hurt? What do you think's going on with him?
You know, I can't tell. I it's hard. They always say they're not hurt. And, you know, the fact that they gave him the start last night makes you think that he's probably doing okay. But sometimes young guys like that, they just lose it. And, you know, maybe a little change of scenery will do him some good.
Hey, do you wonder, we were talking about earlier, should they shut him down or send him? Obviously, the velocity is an issue. When your guy loses velocity, I guess you sort of think it has to be an injury when he loses, what, 5 miles an hour off his fastball.
Yeah, I mean, and especially what he had going on early in the season, what is it, the intercostal muscle or whatever it was that he had, you wonder, is he okay? Is that something that's recurring? Velocity is a concern, but it doesn't always mean that something's wrong. Tim Lincecum is, you know, best pitcher in baseball. The last 2 years, he's had these periods of, they used to call it dead arm, but now it just sort of, you lose a few ticks in the middle of the season. That could be happening with Mattis. He doesn't have a long enough track record to where anybody knows what exactly is going on. Always better to try to work on that stuff and figure it out down on the farm than it is up in the big leagues.
Craig, we talk about the Orioles and they sit at 35-43 right now. Here locally, there was optimism that this team could finish over 500. I'm curious, from looking at it from afar, is this where you thought they'd be, or better or worse?
I thought they'd be a little better. I think the over 500 stuff was a little optimistic, because when you look at the team, you got to look on what's a reasonable improvement year by year. And even if you thought that what happened in the second half of last year was more truth than not, improving by, you know, 20 games or whatever is really, really hard. I thought 80 wins was something to shoot for. I thought that was a good target. That's still not out of the question, of course. I mean, they're now on pace for something, what, in low to mid-70s maybe, and I think they'll be better because I think there's more talent there than they've demonstrated. But, you know, let's not get too crazy. I think, some people might have looked at what happened after Buck Showalter got hired last year and gotten maybe a little overly optimistic. A 10-game, even a 15-game improvement from last year is nothing to sneeze at, and I think that's within reach.
Well, I guess, Craig, the question that Oriole fans have, and they will have forever, is in this landscape of Major League Baseball, can this club ever contend?
I think they can, yes. I certainly think they can, because for as long as it has seemed like the Red Sox and the Yankees have owned this division, you know, that's not something that has to last forever. It's not something that necessarily will last forever. You know, you're seeing some aging. You're seeing things like that go on. You've seen the Rays break through a few times. I think the Orioles have done a really good job the last couple of years rebuilding. I also think that this year is, everybody has to acknowledge, this is a bit of a transitional year. You know, Derek Lee is not the future of this team. Guys like that are not the future of this team. They're good placeholders, but they're not who is going to be a part of the next winning Orioles team, and I think that's possible. It's going to take these pitchers developing, and you can't expect everybody to turn into the 1991 Braves overnight.
Talking to Craig Calcaterra, NBCSports.com, Hardball Talk, the blog here with Ken Wyman on 105.7 The Fan. You mentioned Lincecum, and he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. Who do you think's the best pitcher in baseball right now? Cliff Lee, Verlander, Sabathia, even Lincecum throw in the conversation, Jair Jurgens. Who is the guy right now?
Well, as far as, you know, right now who's going the best, obviously it's Cliff Lee, because he's entering Oral Hershiser territory with this, something like, what is it, 32 or 33 consecutive scoreless innings. But I always go back to the longer view on a pitcher, because the ups and downs in the course of a month or two don't always tell us a lot. Here's my test. If the Martians came down in giant spaceships and said, we're going to play one baseball game against you for, you know, the fate of humanity, who are you going to call? I'm calling Roy Halladay. That's who I'm going to call, and he's been my choice for the last year or two.
Yeah, Cliff Lee, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. What he's done in this landscape with small ballparks and hitting being such a premium, I think it's an understatement to say he's been incredible.
No, yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing that, I mean, yes, offense is down a little bit over the last few years, but it's not historically down. I mean, we're in the run-scoring environment as far as runs per game go that we saw throughout the entire decade of the 1980s and a lot of the 70s. So it's not like we're back in the dead ball era. It's still a lot of good sluggers out there in small ballparks. And that team he shut down the other day was the Boston Red Sox, and they're no slouches offensively either. We are seeing something pretty, I won't say unprecedented, but very rarely seen.
Are the Phillies going to see Roy Oswalt again this year, and do they need him?
I don't know that they need him. I think they will see him. I think they're going to see him back maybe in August and September. What would not shock me at all is if he's given an extended break, maybe even a longer break than he needs, because it looks like they're going to be okay in the division, and then we'll see something crazy like him being used in the bullpen late in the season and in the playoffs if the Phillies get there. He would be an actual great choice for you know, some short inning relief for the Phillies in the playoff situation.
How impressive is the job Tony La Russa is doing? No Wainwright for a single pitch, and now he's done that pull holes for a while, and they're sitting here tied for first place.
It's impressive. I mean, this is one of the bigger tests that I think he's ever had as a manager. He gave an interview, a great interview, in this morning's St. Petersburg Times, talking about how lucky he's been throughout his career. For 30 years, he's always had good players. He's always been part of good organizations. And right now, without his best player, without his best pitcher, with a bunch of veterans and spare parts that you wouldn't necessarily have expected to do what they've done, and his usual unconventional thing, you know, Lance Berkman in the outfield, Pujols when he was there at third base, pretty good trick this year for La Russa in a history of a lot of tricks on his part.
Talking to Craig Calcaterra from NBCSports.com, Hardball Talk, the blog here on 105.7 The Fan. You mentioned La Russa talking about how lucky he's been to have players. One of the things we were talking about earlier is Buck Showalter, and you know, he's the thought that he's a great manager, but they're not winning now. Is he really a great manager? I guess at the end of the day, especially in baseball, you need the horses.
Yeah, you absolutely do. I mean, my manager of my team for the last, you know, 20 years was Bobby Cox. Bobby Cox would not be a Hall of Fame manager if he didn't have the kind of rosters he's had. And I don't think there are very few managers who themselves can make a big difference. And even those sorts of guys are guys who only can do it for a short period of time. I'm thinking like Billy Martin. He was someone who you could probably put him on a team of little leaguers and they compete for a pennant in the big leagues for a little while anyway, until he blew everybody out and alienated everyone. But for the most part, a good manager is tested by how he develops young players and helps them move along, how he keeps peace in the clubhouse, and whether or not people have confidence in him on a day-to-day basis. I think Buck Showalter is a good manager. He's had some issues with veteran players after he's been with the team for a while. I don't know that that necessarily reflects on him, and I certainly don't think that that applies to the situation he's in now in Baltimore.
Craig, Mark Teixeira every year seems to get off to a hideously slow start, but at the end of the year, he's got the 38 homers, 100 RBIs, good batting average. This year, he's already got 25 home runs. Is he going to put together a monster season, or is he just going to flip it and be slow down the stretch?
It's pretty scary what he's doing right now, given his history. That's one thing. I mean, there are very few guys, I think, who are more matched to their ballpark than Teixeira is in Yankee Stadium. And we're seeing him healthy now, and we're seeing him do a lot of things that he hasn't done before. This is definitely a giant year for him. I don't think that he's prone to just some big swoon in the second half. I mean, his early start stuff is more about timing, and unless he loses some time to injury or something, I don't know how his timing is going to get disrupted.
Craig, put you on the spot here. Off the top of your head, manager of the year in both leagues, who's the guy that's really done an impressive job as far as you're concerned?
A really good choice. Well, I mean, I think if the Cardinals win first place, I think they're going to have to give it to Tony La Russa, given all the challenges that he's had. You certainly can't undersell Manny Apta, although if the Indians continue to fade, that's going to go away a little bit. Yeah, that's a really good choice.
You shocked about Kirk Gibson in Arizona?
You know, I'm not shocked, and that's a really good one. I'd forgotten about him. I mean, Gibson has done a lot with very little there, and he's really changed the tone. I think maybe Kevin Towers deserves a little bit more praise than he's getting, and I think Towers is perfectly content to let Gibson get it. But I visited the Arizona Diamondbacks during spring training, sat in on some meetings with Kirk Gibson and stuff like that. But the way he just sort of commands that place is quite impressive. The completely opposite thing that Arizona has seen for the last few years.
Talking to Craig Calcaterra from NBCSports.com. Hardball Talk is the blog here on 105.7 The Fan. And the Dodgers situation seems to just get messier every day. Frank McCourt delusionally thinks he can hold on to this team. What do you see happening? Is the league going to seize that team?
They're going to try, but the problem that they have is that the last few times you've seen teams, not just in baseball but in other sports, in the bankruptcy court, whatever the league rules are at the time, don't really impress the judges too much. They don't have to abide by those. They have one guiding mission, and that's to make sure that the creditors of the team are have their interests best looked out for. Major League Baseball is probably going to file some sort of motion in the next couple of weeks trying to seize the team. I find it kind of questionable that a court will grant that motion. I just don't think that they're going to change the ownership based on that. What they may do, though, in late July, there's going to be a hearing that decides whether or not Frank McCourt's bridge loan that he has right now to keep him funded through bankruptcy, whether he'll be allowed to keep that running the team, or whether baseball's alternative financing that they have proposed is going to rule the day. That could be a de facto change of control of the team, because baseball's terms are much better on their loan. If the court says baseball's loan holds, I think Frank McCourt's going to bow out and quit, because he'll just be an employee of Major League Baseball at that point.
How did baseball let it get to this? Yeah, I guess, you know, what I'm hearing is he's McCourt sort of moved everything around so he could use his own personal spending money. He's got different, I guess, ownership of, like, the parking lots and everything. He's going to make it very difficult for anybody to want to buy that team.
Yep, that's true. I mean, it's going to make it really hard. But the question of how baseball let this happen is, baseball has always kind of let this happen. It just so happens that there was a perfect storm here that made all the plates stop spinning at one time. There is a long and rich history of major league owners taking money out of their teams, switching things around, because these books aren't open. People don't know about this, but there's a lot of that. Usually there's more than enough cash flow to cover for all that, and no one knows where the money really goes. In this case, because of the divorce and because of the sheer audacity of the scale of what Frank McCourt did, it has come home to roost for the Dodgers. But this is nothing new. Baseball has always let team owners use their teams kind of as piggy banks.
Why won't they let Mark Cuban join their fraternity?
Yeah, I think they're probably going to change their tune on that pretty soon. I mean, historically, it's just because they're afraid of this guy. They don't like owners. Bud Selig doesn't like owners he can't control, and he probably couldn't control Mark Cuban. Although in the last few years, I think Cuban has done a lot to sort of show Major League Baseball that if he wants to, he could be brought into the fold. He was part of the bidding for the Chicago Cubs in the early rounds when they were in bankruptcy court. He was part of the bidding for the Rangers last year. Baseball could have knocked him out earlier than they did. I think they're getting more comfortable with him, and then certainly given what they're seeing now with undercapitalized owners, they wouldn't mind having a billionaire come in and run a team.
A couple final things with Craig Calcaterra, NBCSports.com. Hardball Talk is the blog here on 105.7 The Fan. The Yankees, you're never going to get Joe Girardi any Manager of the Year votes because of the payroll, but when you look at what he's done, Phil Hughes started out, no velocity, not helping the club at all. They're getting so much quality out of guys like Freddie Garcia and Bartolo Colon. Jeter gets hurt, and here they are 17 games over 500.
Yeah, although I'm going to give more credit to Brian Cashman on this. I mean, the moves, I don't like his style. I don't like the fact that he threw the entire team under the bus on that whole Rafael Soriano deal thing. He didn't want any part of it. But the fact is, the spare parts that Cashman owned and brought in, guys like Freddie Garcia, those sort of fellas, they're the ones that are sort of saving the day here. And so, yeah, there are a lot of spare parts there. And when you've got the top end, like Teixeira and CC Sabathia, you can get by with a lot of low end. And they've just been able to avoid pure craters in the lineup.
Finally, it's fun to watch baseball, but it seems like the most people think the World Series is fait accompli, Boston and Philly. Is that your feeling?
It kind of feels that way. I have a hard time predicting anything because it was about this time last year that I officially declared the San Francisco Giants dead. So as we know, anything can happen. Before the season started, I said Boston, Philadelphia. Right now, I would have a hard time seeing anybody beat those guys in a 7-game series.
It's Craig Calcaterra, NBCSports.com. Hardball Talk is the blog. As always, Craig, a pleasure having you on the program.